Terry Savage, the money lady, joins us now on the noon business lunch. Hi, Terry.
Hi, I'm looking at the headlines about what's going on in Congress.
Yeah, how about that?
This whole health care issue, John, is a big deal for the more than 24 million people who've had what we will casually call Obamacare this year. They can expect their premiums, because up until now, nothing's been done to extend the subsidies. Premiums go up on average 144%, but I've seen a couple where people have showed me that it's over 200%. And so the fact that the Democrats, or there were some Republicans, voted with the Democrats in the House today to get a vote on a three-year extension, this just happened this morning, is a pretty big deal.
For moderate House Republicans, quote-unquote, rebelled against House Speaker Mike Johnson. They're forcing a vote to extend the ACA subsidies, which is only forcing the vote, but this will at least put any member of Congress on record as to whether or not they're going to continue with the subsidies and make that ACA as affordable as it is. If you vote against it, if it fails, then the subsidies go away, your premiums go up, and those congressmen and women will be on record for having allowed that. And this is what the Democrats wanted all along, at least give us a vote on that. But again, this isn't a guarantee that the subsidies are going to be maintained. Is that right?
Right, because then it has to go to the Senate, which just last week, the week before, voted down a similar plan. I think what's happening is this, and then I have a special, I didn't even really know about this until one of the listeners, I was on WGN TV this morning, emailed me and said, wait, you forgot this. And I said, yeah, I don't usually think about Illinois separately because my columns go across the country. But let me say this first. The deadline for coverage under healthcare.gov, or you could go to places like eHealth, but under the Obamacare type plans, silver, bronze, and gold, was December 15th, Monday, for coverage to start January 1st, except for one big exception, which I'll talk about. But in everywhere else, there's another deadline, January 15th, but your coverage will not start till February 1st, except, and I think, I hope he's listening, because he really said, you were wrong. I forgot about Get Covered Illinois, and I just spoke with them.
Yeah.
In Illinois, let me see if this is a correct way to say it, our version of Obamacare, of healthcare.gov, for Illinois residents, I know we have people listening in Indiana and Wisconsin, but in Illinois, we have something called getcovered.illinois.gov, and they have extended the deadline to get health coverage to December 31st. You could still enroll to get health coverage on January 1st.
Okay.
Now, it's going to be more expensive unless something comes through both the House and the Senate. But you kind of don't want to have that gap there. And they will also let you know if you qualify for CHIP or for Medicaid or what else you might, you need some basic coverage. So getcovered.illinois.gov.
All right, Terry Savage, what else do you want to say?
Well, I just think this is a really important, I know it's an important political issue, but it's a personal finance issue to have health insurance. So in case you missed this, if you had been waiting, first of all, if you had what we'll call Obamacare last year, you're going to get defaulted into a plan this year, and then you're going to have to make adjustments. So if you're an Illinois resident, I want you to go to getcovered.illinois.gov to get some help. You can talk to people on the phone. That's the nicest thing. It's not like healthcare.gov where you're basically picking three plans to compare, which is so complicated. I tried to do this for someone and I gave up and said, let's call eHealth.com. They review plans just as Get Covered Illinois does, but they review plans that may be offered privately that aren't part of the gold, bronze, silver thing that might cover your, you have to look at not only the premium, the copay, the cost sharing part of it, the deductible, the maximum you could pay out of pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Is your doctor, your hospital in the network of these plans? What about drugs? And And maybe you could get Medicaid or CHIP for part of your family. I think this is more complicated than anything I've ever seen. And what I fear is that people will just give up. When I looked at some of these plans and what it costs if you do get sick, if you have the insurance, I could see where people would say, just, I'm going to wing it and go to the ER. That's not the right way.
Yeah, that's, in fact, what too many people do. Okay, 312-981-7200, that and other topics. Terry, can I throw some questions at you?
Sure, absolutely.
Is there a way to avoid taxes on my required minimum distribution of my HSA or 401k other than a charity?
Wait. Your required minimum distribution,
your RMD,
applies to only a qualified retirement account, an IRA, not a Roth, obviously, but a traditional IRA, or if you still got your 401k or 403b.
Right.
That's where the required distributions come from. And those are all coming out as ordinary income. And no, I mean, you can't avoid taxes on them. You may have some other deductions or things. The one way you can, as this question implies, is that you can make a direct contribution to a qualified charity, but that has to be completed, you know, in the next 2 weeks. The charity has to acknowledge receipt before year end. Now, why was there some words like HSA?
HSA. Well, because say you take that money out, but you have to put money in a health savings account, an HSA. Well, that's, you don't pay taxes on that. That comes off. So maybe you could pull it out and stick it in. I think that's what they're thinking, Terry.
No. You're going to get a 1099 from your plan custodian saying, Susan, you took the required $11,290 out of your IRA. It's your RMD, you're 73 now. Now, you might be able to do some other things, talking with your tax consultant on your tax return to reduce the total amount of taxes you pay. But per se, that distribution, the only way you can reduce the required minimum distribution is to make a qualified charitable distribution and have your IRA custodian get that to the charity and get the charity's receipt acknowledgement before the end of the year, which is like only about, this is hard to believe, but we're
two
at the 17th.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know,
two
maybe 10, 11 working days.
Yeah. Terry, the RMD, do people take that over the 12 months or do they take it one fell swoop?
You know, I've written about this extensively. It depends on how you like to run your life. If you think, gee, I'm well invested and the market is going up, I'll wait till early December. I mean, I don't want you to game it down to the last 2 weeks, but I want to stay fully invested and then I'll be willing to sell to get it done by the end of the year. You can do that. Or many people will say, you know, let me back up. You will know what your 2026 RMD is going to have to be because it is based on the value of your IRA or your four IRAs all added up at the end of 2025, like in 2 weeks. So in mid-January, you're going to get your statement from one IRA or three or four, and you're going to add it all up. I have $42,000 in this one, and oh my goodness, $219,000 in that one that I had rolled over. You add up all those IRAs, now this is separately from a 401k if you still have one, and you can calculate your RMD in January based on your year-end balance. Your 401k or 403b, if you still have it, you'll need to take a separate distribution out of those plans. But you can take your RMD every month. So maybe you want to say, okay, in January, starting on the 20th, of January, and you'll issue instructions to your custodian. Give me an RMD, let's say you needed $60,000, give me a $5,000 RMD. Oh, and by the way, withhold 15% or 20% based on your tax bracket from that, and plop that into my checking account, and it'll, you know, you'll get your Social Security or your pension and your RMD month by month. And for many people who aren't worried about timing the stock market, that's probably the way to go.
On the Business Lunch, we're talking, as it is a Wednesday, with Terry Savage, who mentioned that this vote on the And it hasn't happened yet, but this vote in the House on the Affordable Care Act subsidies is an interesting development today. It looks like they are going to be forced by four renegade moderate Republicans to call the vote that Mike Johnson did not want. The president wants to talk about that this evening, too, it sounds like. A new PBS NPR Marist poll finds that Trump's handling of the economy is approved by 38% of Americans, 54% disapprove of his handling of the economy. That's a 16-point swing. He's upside down 16 points, and that's a lot. The president said that he feels that if people heard him describe his track record, we would be more inclined to believe that he is doing a good job and the economy is okay. So that's just sort of the backdrop, Terry, for what's going to happen at 8 o'clock tonight here on the radio.
Yeah, I don't want to go there into the politics, but I've been trying as a personal finance item to follow this. And here's where I think there's a giant disconnect. And I was surprised by it, actually, just watching CNBC, I think it was yesterday morning. The Republicans talking about creating incentives for people to choose their health procedures and costs wisely, because like health savings accounts, if you don't spend it, you get to keep it, kind of a thing. And they were talking about creating competition when your employer, instead of just your employer gives you insurance and you go get the services. But what I think I don't understand how they could have missed this. These four Republicans clearly didn't miss this. This is not just about restructuring employer-provided health insurance to have people make better, more financial decisions about where they go to get the MRI or to whatever. We're talking about 24 million people who they can't put money away for a health savings account so that they can make smart decisions about where to get their MRI. These are people who just need basic coverage, which has become too expensive if you take away these subsidies. So, yeah, I think it would be terrific if everybody got together, who everybody is, I don't know, and came up with better incentives within the healthcare system. Maybe that would impact the profits of insurance companies. All of that I get, but the immediate need is for 24 million people.
Yeah.
To be able to buy health insurance so they don't all walk into the ER with no coverage. And of course, we all wind up paying for that anyway. Obamacare really did provide a way for people to get both preventive care, which you don't get in an emergency room, to keep you healthy, and affordable care with insurance. And I think that the reality is beginning to dawn that this is not just Democrats or blue states, but it's a lot of people who are represented by Republicans, who literally December 15th was the deadline, and they got defaulted into plans that cost maybe twice as much in Illinois. And we just ran that commercial. I'd never heard it before. Public service announcement, I'm sure, which is Illinois's getcovered.illinois.gov, where they've extended their helping services to enroll in coverage for January 1st. You now have still two more weeks till December 31st to enroll. So
I think that's what our listener, and Ron, you're listening to this, and you were going to say something along those lines yourself, right?
Yeah, and you know what? I'm not a one-issue voter, but this is probably the most important issue to me. And this, for 40 years, I had insurance for my employer. I was fortunate. Now I'm on Medicare. But, Terry, what I just want you to mention, how devastating. And like I said, I'm willing to pay more taxes. And I'm retired, but I'm willing to pay more taxes for people to have insurance. And I'll make one more comment, and then, Terry, I want you to let people know how devastating it could be. When I would get my, I had a couple procedures, I saw the cost. I'm like, wow. That would have devastated me. But you can let people know how. And lastly, I'm not going political. They've been talking about Obamacare is no good. Come up with a plan. But Terry, just let people know when you don't.
Yeah, and it's funny because we haven't heard what that other plan is. I think we would all embrace a better plan. And I don't think anybody has said that this is perfect. Ron, thanks for the call, but it's better than nothing right now.
See, that's the anguish of real people who also happen to be real voters, and I think of both parties. It's just, if you have good health insurance, and whether it's Medicare or anything else, and you see what the cost of procedures is, which is, that's a whole other story. I mean, why does that cost so much? But the point is, you think, if I didn't have insurance, oh my goodness, now we are talking about, let's talk about a couple of groups of people. We're talking about people, we're not talking about people who are sitting home and can't work. There are Medicaid programs for those who literally don't have the ability to work. We're talking about a lot of hardworking people who have to pay rent, buy groceries, and deal with how are they going to cover
well, do you
the
ever
cost
see
of the
what
kid
your
breaking a leg in the playground.
Do you see what your medications cost with insurance? Like they say, okay, here's your pills, that's $1.78. And then every now and then just go, what would that have cost without my insurance? And it'll floor you.
It does. And so I think there's, Congress has some of the best health insurance there is. I honestly don't think they realize what it is to be 57 years old.
Yeah.
You work for years, you had employer health coverage, you won't qualify for Medicare for another five, six, 7 years, you're out of your work at 62. You have 3 years uncovered. You are not 22 and invincible.
Yeah.
You already have high blood pressure or high cholesterol or whatever it might be. And before, if you had these pre-existing conditions before Obamacare, you couldn't get any coverage. Now you're out of work. You're trying to live on your savings till you get to Social Security. And you have to pay for everything plus the insurance that's now twice as much.
Well,
it's just, I don't think they get it.
224 said, hey, Terry Savage, what if you have been without health insurance? I think the question, I'm not exactly sure what they're asking about there. If you've been without health insurance, you want to get health insurance. But I think you will qualify. They're not going to disqualify you because of a pre-existing condition. So you can get...
That's what the whole healthcare.gov, Obamacare, and in Illinois, Get Covered Illinois does. It gives you access. Now, it's not the world... I personally think Medicare with a supplement is probably the best insurance coverage ever, or employer-provided health insurance. But at least, first of all, with all these policies, you get preventive care. So you're going to get your flu shots. You're going to get a physical.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get, for women, a mammogram or whatever. You get preventive care as part of all these policies. And even some of these, of course, you have to make a copayment, even if you're on these, I'll use a shorthand of Obamacare policies. But it's better than being totally exposed. It's better unless the premium is so expensive that you go, it's that or rent. That I get they're worried about fraud. Goodness gracious, this is America. They can fix the fraud. They've looked the other way. I get the fact that they want to fix the incredible spiraling cost of health care, but not on the backs of the 24 million people who will now not be able to afford insurance. And they are not just people that are in blue states in the city sitting around. These are hardworking, low-income people trying to buy groceries in red states, too.
Here's a question that's off that topic. Hey, Terry, if I contribute to our grandson's 529 plan, is that tax deductible?
No, but it's a great gift, and that's what you should do. If you go to terrysavage.com and in the box under columns put 529 plans, it explains how to open an account for your grandchild.
This? Hey, Terry, I've got grandchildren who live in Arizona. If I put money into a 529 College Illinois plan, can it be applied to them?
Sure, you can grow it tax-free for college in any state plan, or you can just go to Vanguard. I forget what theirs is, Utah or something like that.
Yeah.
But you should ask your adult children, did they open a plan in the state where they live? You can contribute to that.
Terry Savage, the Money Lady, for a few more minutes on the Noon Business Lunch. I've got more questions for you, Terry.
Go ahead.
I've heard that if we already have Medicare coverage, we can switch at any time if we pass underwriting. Is that true? I want to switch from F to G to save money.
First of all, don't switch from F to G to save money. It's not that much money you're going to save, and F covers your deductible every year. But you can only switch during open enrollment, which just ended.
Hey, Terry, my wife turned 70 in January. She receives a civil service pension from the Postal Service and an RRR pension through me. When she applies for Social Security, would that be reduced?
I can't remember about the railroad offset. So what I want you to do is go to MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com and get the precise numbers. They will let you know. They will adjust for those changes in the Fairness Act and will let her know exactly what she should get, which will be the larger of hers or half of yours, and depending on what you get.
You got a piece up now, Terry, right, about scams and fraud?
Oh. My latest column is just a reminder about fraud protection during this holiday season. I have someone getting a bunch of emails about all kinds of fake scams from, I thought I was on the mutual fund website, and then money was taken out, to all kinds of things. Look, number one, freeze your credit. I posted three links directly. It's easier than ever to do. It costs nothing. Freeze your credit. It's easy to unfreeze if you're going to go buy a car and you want them, or get a mortgage and you want them to check your credit. A link to Credit Karma to check your credit score, see if anything's changing, and a reminder to freeze your phone SIM card, so that you aren't victimized by having your SIM card stolen. And I talk a little bit, David Hochberg and I were talking about this, about protecting your home title. Millions of Americans own their home free and clear. And I've noticed lately a lot of commercials, well, title theft is the greatest thing, and they're going to steal your house and take a mortgage out on it. It's really a pretty rare thing, and a lot of people are spending a lot of money on protection. David and I were talking about, hey, instead of buying a costly title lock program, you could just register a home equity loan, a line of credit, I should say. You don't have to take out the loan. Pay a little bit every year for that, and then nobody could take out a mortgage or change your title. Or go to the County Recorder of Deeds, and they also have a fraud watch program.
I've never heard of putting a lock on a phone SIM card. That's a thing you can do?
Oh, yeah. I wrote a column about this about 8 or 9 months ago. Remember the ones where the gal had her wedding money taken out because her phone SIM card was cloned, not stolen. She didn't lose her phone. That wasn't it. She had taken it into some place and they cloned it. And so that when the bank called, texted her, you need the 6-digit code, it went to the people that had kind of stolen the innards of her phone, and they put in the code and the money was removed. And banks consider, if they sent you that text and that text gets used, then you, quote, participated in the fraud even though you didn't know, and they won't refund the money.
So how do I do that? Do I do that through the phone?
You call AT&T or Verizon or T-Mobile and say, and it's very easy, I want to lock my SIM card.
So do I do that only if I think I've been jeopardized, or?
No. Do that now. Contact them. It's free.
I'll be darned. Wow.
And that means that every time you turn off your phone, or in this case, if it were ported to a, it were ported, not reported, but ported into another phone, they'd have to have your 6-digit SIM card PIN, not just your phone number, you know, password for the 4 or 5, 6 digits that you use, but an additional SIM card unlock to be able to get into your phone.
That's really interesting. I mentioned this when it happened, but when we were traveling, we misplaced one of our credit cards, and I called Chase, and they put a freeze on my card. Usually, in the past, if I lost a card, I would replace it, but then I have to change the number on all the other accounts.
Everything.
And it's such a bite in the butt. And then I always ended up finding the card after I thought I had lost it. Well, now you just put a hold on the card, and then when you do find it, you say, unlock it, and you haven't... Nobody stole them from you, and you didn't have to go through the rigmarole. Isn't that a nice feature?
It is. This is the season to really pay attention, particularly pay attention to the websites you're visiting. Pay attention to not using the Wi-Fi in the restaurant to check your bank balance on your app. These are all ways that you get exposed to potential fraud, and this is the season for it.
Maybe another question or two. Hey, Terry, What should I put my chicken money in, bonds or T-bills, says Tom.
Okay, this is the column I'm writing today or tomorrow. We're coming to an inflection point. Let me just say this and have you wait for this column. What's happened is the Fed is cutting rates, and the Fed is also buying T-bills. You've heard a little bit of this, not quantitative easing. But so the yields are dropping on T-bills. Right now, the six-month bill is yielding at 3.6%. Right now, some banks are actually giving you more for 6 months, maybe 3.9% or 4%. Of course, you pay state taxes on that in Illinois, but you don't pay on T-bills. But the fact is, right now, it might be a moment when you could get a higher yield on a six-month CD than the current 3.6% and likely going lower on T-bills. And if you want to move out to get a little higher yield, you can move out to 2 years, but I wouldn't move out longer than that because the fear of inflation is moving long-term rates a little bit higher.
Yeah, 4.6, the latest number. And that's all the time we've got, Terry. Will you join us next week?
Yes, won't it be Christmas Eve, won't it?
Yeah, so I will be here if you'll be here.
I'll be here with you.